Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is October 24th, 2013. In turmoil, most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. It's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me, and I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And in emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886, 316-619-4886. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And, of course, you folks that are listening on satellite or telephone or some other means on radio, you can always call me. In fact, any of you can call me for any kind of information that you need. Next week, folks, I want to point out we're going to have Michael T. Snyder on. He has a website called The Beginning of the End, and that's the name of his book, The Beginning of the End. And he is going to be on with us next week on Prophecy Hour. And so I sure hope that you join us, because that's going to be a really good program. Now, a prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Oh, and something I wanted to mention to you, some of you folks out there. Someone told me today that, you know, a lot of you are following that Iraqi dinar thing. And I heard that possibly that it could reevaluate on Monday. If you have a thought on that, send me an email about it at elcm@messiahsbranch.org or go to prophecyhour.com and send me an email if you've heard anything about it. I'm just curious. Anyway, if it does, there's going to be some rich people out there. If it doesn't, well, it's just another false alarm, right? Anyway, now prayer. We'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine. And please give us all ears and wish to hear the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Yes, he's back. That's right. It's Steve. Yeah, Steve from the Sure Word of Prophecies Ministries. His mission is to help believers understand Bible prophecy, prepare them for the return of Yeshua, and to make an unarguable, I always mess up on that. Anyway, make a presentation that's so unarguable, there we go again, to unbelievers that if there is a God who knows the end from the beginning, it is his desire to share the prophetic word to turn many agnostics, atheists, scoffers, providing them with enough evidence for their tune to a saving faith in Jesus Christ or Yeshua HaMashiach. Well, tonight he is back with us to talk, to finish his talk on Daniel 8. Remember, we started off with one, and then it didn't get done, and we went two, and he captivated us all, and we listened to it, but by the end of the program, he didn't get done. He says tonight he's going to get done with Daniel 8, so we can move on to some other things. But anyway, in the meantime, let's just welcome Steve Henderson and see what he has to say. Welcome, Steve.
Great to you, Brother Dan. And Maranatha, how are you today?
Pretty good, actually. I'm having a pretty good day. How are you?
I'll tell you what, I am so blessed, I can hardly contain myself. I'm almost so blessed, I'm going to get translated here pretty quick.
Really?
You know,
well, I think you have a little while to wait on that.
excuse my worst sense of humor, a million comedians out of work, and I'm trying to be one. Yeah. Well, I would like to share with you the sure word of prophecy. Peter says that we ought to pay attention to it. It's like a light that shines in a dark place, and it lightens you day by day. And as I look at the world events that are taking place, I am extremely excited that we are facing the end of the matter. We are looking at the final play of this world's history, and we are excited. I wonder what the prophets would have done to be in this place that we're in today, Dan. It's really exciting to watch the prophecies of Daniel become unsealed before our very eyes.
Absolutely. You know, they would be greatly excited. And so many different generations after them have been wanted to be just where we're at now. But it's not going to be a cakewalk. But those who endure, the same shall be saved, that endure to the end.
Absolutely, brother. I believe that this is a day of preparation. If we recognize the day we're in, then we're going to hopefully be able to prepare before we jump in the ring, because it's necessary to have that preparation. And that's why he said, watch. If the good man would have known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken up. And we need to be with our eyes wide open at this particular minute, especially when it comes to the prophecies of Daniel. Daniel was an unsealed book, or to be sealed, until the time of the end. He was told to seal up the book and the words until the time of the end. And then at the time of the end, people will run back and forth in the sealed book, in the words, and those words will become clearer and clearer as we see the very players, the geographical locations, and the symbols and the numbers, all of it come right up in our faces to help us to understand that Yeshua is coming quickly. In our last couple of sessions, we have been discussing the vision of the conflict between the ram and a goat. In Daniel chapter 8, the ram is standing in a specific geographical location at a river located at the confluence of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, which is right in between Iraq and Iran. We don't have to guess where this vision starts. The ram starts warring and starts a regional war in that location, and it makes the goat stir up from across the earth, from the west. And we discovered several important points so far in our last couple of sessions. Number one, when Yahweh ordered Gabriel to tell Daniel about this particular vision, the first thing he told Daniel was it was an end-time vision. Not only did he say it once, but he said it twice. Check it out, Daniel 8, verse 17 and verse 19. So to try to attempt to put that back in B.C. would be a futile attempt, because at the end, we would understand that this prophecy would have a lot more contained in it than what we had historically applied to in the historic past. The prophecy laid down for a couple thousand years of people walking all over it because of specifics that were found in the prophecy, and we've just ignored it, thinking that it had a historical fulfillment. It may have had a partial fulfillment, and there may have been some similarities. Of course, we know that the Medes and Persians did succeed Babylon, and we also know that the Grecian Empire did succeed the Medes and Persians. And because of that fact, we have virtually ignored Daniel 8 up until this time, at least for me anyway. Back in 1989, I began to study these prophecies because Jesus singled out the prophet Daniel and tied it into the end. And he said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let him, whoever reads, let him understand. So when he says that, it should compel people to go into the book of Daniel and try to read and try to understand. He pointed to the prophecies of Daniel as a future event. Of course, we all recognize that the historical narrative from Daniel chapter 1 to Daniel chapter 6 were, in fact, history, with the exception of the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. But in the visions of Daniel 7 to Daniel 12, we have almost heard very little about these particular visions. Why? Because to get into them and try to explain them was just almost very difficult to do because it didn't apply to that day. But Gabriel said that the ram that was in this vision was the Medes and the Persians. Those territories placed at the end constitute primarily two countries, and it's Iraq and Iran. We discussed that in the former program. Also, factor in a place where the RAM is standing in between the Iraq and Iran border on the Karun or the ancient Ulai River. So we know that this conflict starts there. Two horns on this RAM is the focus. One is the focus of the prophecy, and then a larger or more powerful entity joins, and then at the same point in time, a regional war ensues when they both get together and begin to push in three different directions. Then Gabriel tells Daniel who the goat is. He said the goat is the kingdom of, actually the King James says Greece, but the Hebrew is Yavon. Last time we spoke, Yavon, we discovered that Yavon was originated from the sons of Noah and inhabited the west, the western territories, around Cyprus, what would be modern-day Cyprus, Mediterranean Sea, southeast Turkey, and that area is where they were inhabited. And they were those people of the west. But in today, we can recognize that the kingdom of Greece is almost dysfunctional. It's bankrupt. So we can't apply that to history. We have to apply that kingdom of Yavon to the end of time where Gabriel puts it. That territory today will be primarily centered in the Isles of the Mediterranean and Cyprus and the northeast Mediterranean. In Daniel's day, it was about as far west as they knew the kingdom of Yavon was, which would be now modern Eastern Europe. The translators put the word Greece in a text for a couple of thousand years. All the expositors thought that would apply to Alexander the Great. But in my hundreds of hours of study in history to try to teach these prophecies, I began to recognize that 2 plus 2 does not equal 4. If Gabriel says this is an end-time vision, then you can't put it in 539 to 168 B.C. It's just virtually impossible, coupled with the fact that Jesus pointed to the prophecies of Daniel as a future event. So, the history does not meet the specifics of the prophecy, and almost all theologians and prophecy enthusiasts have put the fulfillment in the days of Alexander the Great. And a common interpretation in this particular vision was that Alexander came across the west with a great speed across the land, and he conquered the Medes and Persians and the known world. And after Alexander the Great, his death, Greece was eventually controlled by four generals and broken split up into four different parts. Well, here's my proposition. If this has been fulfilled in history, the specifics of the history will be easily verifiable. But I have put a lot of time into ancient history and talked to a lot of historians and done a lot of research myself, and here's what I have found out. The details of the prophecy do not match up with the interpretation that Gabriel gave. So for that very reason, if they do not match up completely and the details do not match up, then we need to go back in and take a good hard look at this book and this vision one more time. Number one, this entity comes across the surface of the whole earth from the west, and it had a great horn, which represents a great nation. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know of a great nation that would be coming across the surface of the whole earth today that would be considered as a great nation. Alexander was known as the first king in the theologians' interpretation, but we find in history that Alexander was not the first king. He was the second. And so the first king in the Hebrew actually meant first in position, place, authority, or a number one king or a number one nation. So that in itself does not fit. The prophecy goes on to explain that after the great nation from the west wins the war, it breaks into four notable or prominent entities. And I discovered, after reading the history of what happened after Alexander died in the War of the Diadochi, there were four major wars that happened among more or less 12 major generals fighting against each other to see who was going to gain the spoils of Alexander. There was no cohesiveness or structured division at all, and it settled not long after into five divisions, and then it continued into about 300 B.C. and eventually broke into three kingdoms. In the past, because of known historical record, that Grecian empire succeeded the Medes and Persians. They tried to force four generals into the historical record to fit the prophecy, but it just does not fit. There were four full-scale wars But Grecia was divided eventually into three territories, which was the Antigone dynasty, the Seleucids, and the Ptolemies. So Alexander's empire did not divide into four. Eventually, it went into three. One more little tidbit of history before we go on. The great majority of interpreters put Antiochus Epiphanes in Daniel chapter 8. And in Daniel 8, if you'll discover, this is Antichrist, Revelation 13, Mark of the Beast language. Jesus said 200 years after this prophecy, when you therefore see it. So although there may have been some hint of an abomination when Antiochus laid swine on the altar, we need to look for something different because Jesus pointed as a future event. Yeshua said that it would be tied into a great tribulation such as ever was. So much for the history lesson. Remember, this vision was to be sealed up until the end. Daniel was told by Gabriel, seal up this vision because it applies for many days in the future. So at the end, I proposed to you that the geographical locations, the symbolisms, the sequence of events would unseal the book, and we could just take a look at what is going on around us and say, wow, this is incredible. This prophet saw these very things 2,500 years ago, and now before our very eyes, we see them coming to pass. It was in 1989 I had determined that Iraq and Iran would be the two to look for on the world scene. If they showed up, I would need to pay close attention. In our last program, I shared with you the adventures of Saddam Hussein. In fact, it was back in 1980 to 1988, where Iran and Iraq fought an 8-year war right along that river where Daniel stood in vision 2,500 years ago and said, I saw this ram pushing. It was over this major waterway in the Middle East where all the oil goes in and out and goes into the Strait of Hormuz or down into the Persian Gulf and through the Shatt al-Arab waterway. When the 9/11 situation happened, I had been watching Saddam for a long time, and he was an arch enemy of Israel, along with others. He wanted to herald himself as a savior of the Middle East, and he began to bark real loud at Israel. Remember, these prophecies in Daniel are written by a Jew pertaining to Jewish people, and they also are connected to Israel. Don't miss that. Hermeneutically, in that context, you have to recognize that when it talks about the Medes and Persians, there's some connection between the Medes and Persians and that little place called Israel. So when 2011 happened and George Bush stood up before the world, he named three axes of evil in this way. I will quote, states like these and their terrorist allies constitute an axis of evil. He named Iran, Iraq, and North Korea. Arming to threaten the peace of the world by seeking weapons of mass destruction, these regimes pose a grave and growing danger. When he singled out Iran and Iraq, I began to get real, real excited about these prophecies because it had been a long study for me. I said, if I ever see these countries come up on the world scene, I'm going to be very, very excited about it. So for years, since 2001, I have been watching the evolution of this issue of Iran and Iraq and how these are always in the news. They're up in front center in our news, especially in light of what is going on in our world at this particular minute. In the conflict, after Iraq was taken out, then and Iran and Iraq were singled out as axes of evil. They were arch enemies. I thought to myself, self, I'm wondering how in the world, according to this prophecy, how Iran and Iraq will ever get together because they were absolutely hated one another. And so I thought, there's just no way that Iran and Iraq will ever get together. But when they were singled out as axes of evil by George Bush, they began to bring sympathy toward one another. And in 2003, I began to see a change, in a swift change, in their attitude toward one another. In an article entitled, What Happens to Iraq When the United States Leaves, it says that when they feel that once Americans leave, the Iraqi government is going to be more willing to cooperate on matters that serve Iran's regional policies and Iran's regional domination. Remember, there are two horns on this ram. The first horn shows up and then the higher horn, or the larger nation or more prominent nation, comes up last. And so I've been watching this news for a while, and I begin to see articles that are entitled things about the cooperation of Iran and Iraq together. Especially after America left Iraq here, they began to strengthen their ties together. Here's one article. It says that Iran and Iraq strengthen their security partnership. Because this ram has two horns, and the higher horn comes up last, and they get together. And when they get together, then they begin to bully. And then that sparks off some entity from across the surface of the whole earth with this great nation leading the way. And I haven't told you who I thought this great nation is. Have I yet, brother?
No, not at all.
I think at the end, these things will become so clear to us that we'll need just Daniel and the book of the Apocalypse or Revelation to do very little narrative to know that the time is at hand. Here's another article. Iran-Iraq Alliance. Iran supports national Iraq unity. Another article. Iraq eyes Iran's military cooperation. Another article back in April 2012, Iraq's prime minister visits Iran. So these things that happen with Iran and Iraq clasping hands, now the Shiites have came over into Iraq, and there is a profound unity between these two countries. In fact, just here recently, in August of 2013, an article entitled, Iran-Iraq Have Exceptional Security Role. Ahmadinejad made a trip over to Iraq, and he quotes this. The role of the two countries in the security of the region is exceptional. We carry a joint message, which is a message of progress and stability and security, and also a message of peace. Just so recently, Ahmadinejad, before he stepped down, said that Iran and Iraq have a major role in the security of the Middle East. Then, as you began to take a look at the issue of Iran, especially in the last couple of years, they have been front and center on the world scene. Coincidence? I don't believe so. I believe when it talked about the Persians have always been known as the Iranians. And the Medes, when they succeeded Babylon, the modern-day Babylon today would be Iraq. And so
We need to break in here, brother, because we only got about 30 seconds for break. I got so involved with listening to this wonderful study. Why don't you tell us where your website's at, and we'll go to break.
Website is www.surewordprophecy.org. I just put up a new website. I think you'll enjoy it. I'm putting some studies and stuff on there for you prophecy enthusiasts. You're going to love it.
Okay. Well, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes with more of Daniel 8 and Steve.
Shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific. Prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, just for the record, and if you've never been to AmericanVoiceRadio.com, if you're listening through my website or you're listening on satellite, you should always go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and check out their other programs that they have. They have archives of the other radio programs and ours, and you should go over there and check it out and see the variety of what you get. One of which is Tex Mars plays through there. And then I like the girl Wendy Wallace. You know, she's health, I call her health food nut, but, you know, she does health food and everything, and pocket therapy herbs, I think she calls it. And so, you know, she can sell things to get you healthy. But go over there and check the variety out. And, though, of course, they probably don't all those programs don't agree with me, or do I agree with them. But it's a radio station. It's diverse. So go over there and have a look around. But anyway, folks, remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Of course, the homeless are poor, but we're talking about the poor people from around the city that, while they have a roof over their head, they don't always have the daily needs because of all of the money that it costs now to live. And the, you know, really, most people are just getting part-time jobs because of Obamacare. So it's really bad. And while it was bad before, it's really bad on the poor and the middle class. So we help these people out. And something I wanted to point out is just Sunday. Now, usually when the women's shelters and the shelters are asked by the news media, are you having any problems helping people or whatever? They don't usually say they're turning people away. They say their cliche is that we are helping everybody. And if we aren't, there's other shelters that are. That's what they standardly say. Well, just this Sunday, there was an article I noticed in the newspaper where they were talking about violence, you know, domestic violence. And they got two of the women's shelters came forward and said, one woman's shelter is turning away 50 women a month. The other one said they were turning away 30. Let me tell you what. They even went on to say that they're always running at about 97%, meaning they don't, that's like having about 3% open or a couple of beds or one bed. And most of the time when you call, those beds aren't available either. In fact, I had another thing from the Wichita Hot Team this week. He told me that in the last year, since the winter overflow closed last year, they haven't been able to find one bed for a woman all year long. What do you think about that? He said that they've been driving them 25 miles away to Newton, Kansas, which Newton, Kansas is a real small town, and they've been driving them to the shelter over there. Well, you know, this Hot Team really got, I know the guy that's the main guy, and they really do have a heart for being, a lot of people say the police pick on him. Well, this guy has a heart. And for another woman, they paid her first month's and last month's rent in this real nice place downtown called the Commodore, and she's going to be able to afford the rent out of her disability check, but he helped her out. So the Hot Team, I like the Hot Team. Anyway, but the weather has changed. It's really cold out at night, and so you know how many women we have outside? A lot. There's people coming to us for blankets, winter clothing, gloves, hats, cold medications. You know, folks, it's only a few thousand dollars that stands between us and getting that woman's shelter open, you know, and so please, please pray about it. Pray about it. But even beyond the woman's shelter, for the things that we do with the Wichita Mission Church, we don't get support from the local churches and everything. We're an oddball. Come on, we're in Kansas. Just how many Messianic churches do you think there are in Kansas? We are an oddball to them, let alone most of them are all pre-trib rapture and so on and so forth. So while they always say, well, Pastor Dan, or they don't call us Messiah's Branch, say everybody calls it Pastor Dan. That's what the homeless nicknamed it. Well, they, you know, point to us there. It's, oh, he's doing a real good job, but do we get help from him? See the problem? We also need donations of large print King James Bible. And I say large print Bibles because merely so many of these people in the street do not have reading glasses, and a large print Bible, wow, they can read it. We can buy them for $10 to $15 a piece in Wichita if you want to send money, or you can just buy them at your local dollar store or Sam's store or someplace, or you can buy them online. But we need King James Bible, large print Bibles right now. So why do many people come to us for help? Well, love, that's the first answer. Treated as family is the second. And beyond that, we have really no set guidelines like programs. People just walk in the door and they ask. That's the rule. That's the program. And if we don't have a way to fill that need, you know, we pray it in. That's where it comes from, prayer. This is why the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send them to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We're the last hope for so many. We're all responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, does help. And guess what? The Father notices every donation that comes from your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order. Find all this information at prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com. And if you're one of the 15% of the people in the United States that don't do the Internet, hey, just call me, 620-878-4682. And now we're back with Steve Henderson, and he's talking about Daniel 8, if that is, if Steve's still here.
There. I'm still here, brother. And intrigued about your ministry. I believe that it's not our theological correctness or that we understand prophecy or what church we belong to. It's all about feeding the hungry and giving drink to the thirsty and feeding those people who are not only physically but spiritually, and to sharing our faith. And what good is it? What good is your faith if someone comes to you and says, hey, I have need of something, and you say, hey, brother, I'll pray for you. We can deeply reach in our pockets and contribute to a ministry such as yours, because I believe if all ministries were modeled like yours, then we wouldn't have to worry about food stamps and the government taking care of us. God designed the entity of his church to be his hands, and heart. So bless you, brother, for your work.
Well, thank you for that, and amen. You know, we were directly told by the Father to do it, but, you know, one thing that does come about, you know, people, the homeless and the poor, they see we treat them like family, like brothers and sisters, and we give them, you know, we fulfill those needs. We don't just pat them on the back like it says in James chapter 2, you know, pray for them and send them on their way. We try to fulfill that need. But then when it's time for that critical question of faith, they come to us and they say, look, we know that you're different. You don't act like these people that just ignore us after they walk out of the church. And they say, we know that you're different. Will you pray with me? And we have seen so many miracle prayers and salvations. It's just, you know, it's wonderful.
I always say, brother, and I like the old adage, they don't care what you know until they know you care. And
amen.
Okay. All right. I have some more to share with you. I plan on getting through with this thing. I got a lot to run in just a little bit.
Okay.
Type in the Karun River because it is a specific river mentioned by Daniel 25 years ago. I typed it in just out of curiosity, and I found out that on the Karun River, I pulled up a globalsecurity.org website. Something came up, and it says a facility at this location on the Karun River is located under the control of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps and was said to be suspected of being an underground nuclear weapons facility of unspecified nature. The whole issue in the world right now is Iran's nuclear program and their pursuit in the face of opposition when they openly called for the annihilation and destruction of Israel over and over and over. And back as far back as 1990, they were saying if they ever developed a nuclear weapon, they would wipe Israel off the map. Well, then you see articles such as this. Iran trumpets nuclear advances, deepening standoff with the West. Now, what I find interesting is we are known as the West, and you've heard about that for a long time, but the prophet Daniel saw this entity come across the surface of the earth from the West with a great horn or a great nation leading the way. And so, at the end, these visions will become clear, and I believe we are looking at the fulfillment of these visions, a response from the West. Obama proclaimed, preventing Iran from getting a nuclear weapon isn't just in the interest of Israel, it's profoundly in the security interest of the United States. And that when I say we're not taking any option off the table, we meant it. I am not bluffing. You know, we have been hearing threats back and forth from the West in Israel to Iran more than you can imagine here in the last couple of years. Here's another article out of the Jerusalem Post. It says, Iran is a threat to the entire free world, and that their threats to attack the West must be seriously taken. Iran with nuclear weapons would pose a threat not only to the region, but also to the United States. Another article, Ban calls calm for West and Iran. It's the Secretary General of the United Nations called for an easing of the tensions between Iran and the West over Tehran's nuclear ambitions. A war of words between Washington and Tehran has increased in recent days with Iran threatening the United States and to send naval vessels to the strategic strait of Hormuz. Again, we find the West and Iran in the news. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard today went on a war footing as its commander upped its troops readiness for operation. The more coming after the shooting down of a U.S. drone, there is fears rising that the West and Islamists are escalating toward major conflict. Another article, Iran's Revolutionary Guard prepares for war. Iran's Revolutionary Guard has been put on a war footing and increasing signs that the West is taking direct action to cripple the nuclear program. Now, if you remember what George Bush said, he said, if you are harboring terrorists or you are supporting them, we are going to come after you and we're going to remove you from power and that we have some unfinished business with you. Well, if we recognize, according to a recent report, Council of Foreign Relations, the U.S. State Department considers Iran the world's most active state sponsor of terrorism. So we have some unfinished business with Iran. We've taken out Saddam Hussein. We went over to get Osama bin Laden, and that job is done. But if you look at the map around Iran, Iran is surrounded by military bases. And the reason why we're still in Afghanistan is because we have something that we're going to be doing with Iran here pretty soon. Iran is in the crosshairs of not only the United States, but also Israel. In another Jerusalem Post article, it says this, Moscow, the Russians are getting involved with this, and it wants to encourage the West to pursue a multilateral diplomatic approach to dealing with Iran. And then it says, unless Israel and the West can focus its efforts on convincing Russia and China to switch allegiances, listen, global stability, as we know it, will soon take a turn for the worse. So something this RAM does infuriates his goat from the West with his great nation leading the way. And remember, Jesus said, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, and the end is not yet. So the wars and rumors of wars would fly. I find all kinds of articles in the recent news of insults back one to another. Here is one from Ahmadinejad in 2012 who says Israel's existence is an insult to all humanity. The existence of the Zionist regime is an insult to all humanity. And now Israel is on high alert. And Israel said, our policy is that no one or another, Iran's nuclear program must be stopped. Israel has to be ready to defend itself, and we are prepared to defend ourselves in any way and anywhere that we see fit. So Israel is very, very nervous at this moment because they have been told openly before the world that they need to be pushed in the sea. And that's not only just by Iran, but other Arab nations believe the same thing. Saddam Hussein developed a Jerusalem Liberation Army, a 6-million-man army, and his plan was to go into Jerusalem and remove the Jews from the line of occupation. They considered it an occupied territory. So you find this article, Israel versus Iran, in the New York Times magazine, and they have all of these scenarios. And it tells you very clearly that Iran is waiting for a move from Israel. It says Iran has hundreds of Shabab missiles armed with warheads that can reach Israel, and it can harness Hezbollah to strike at Israel's communities with its 50,000 rockets, some of which can hit Tel Aviv. So right now they are over there passing out gas masks, and they are building underground shelters because they believe that something is going on. Just recently, just last week, the Air Force, the Israeli Air Force, had training over in the Mediterranean where they were airing or gassing up planes preparing for a long-distance flight. And they have been saying, Netanyahu has been saying, more or less out in the open, Iran, if you don't stop your nuclear program, we're coming after you. So the government appears to be ready in the countries of war by issuing gas masks, including underground bomb shelters, and testing early warning systems for missiles. And they are deadly serious, as is the president, about preventing Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. So Netanyahu came over to the United States back last year to the United Nations, and he drew out a chart. I don't know if you remember that or not, about enriched uranium. And it's very clear that they are pursuing enriched uranium regardless of the world opinion. And right now they're making talks of trying to get Iran to back down from the nuclear program. But one article entitled Iran Closer and Closer to the Bomb declares this. Iran is the most important matter of all. Now, this is in context of the Syria issue that happened just recently, which is a big issue. Because of all the problems that we have, however, the most important thing will be dwarfed by this messianic, apocalyptic, extreme regime that would have atomic bombs. This was when this was just issued out a few weeks ago when they had the Syrian conflict. So he said, as Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu declared, I will never let my people live in the shadow of annihilation. Today we have a state of our own, and the purpose of the Jewish state is to defend Jewish lives and to secure the Jewish future. Never again, did he declare, will we not be masters of the fate of our very survival. Never again. And that is why Israel must always have the ability to defend itself by itself against any threat. Now, Adrian, just a few weeks ago, the United States of America, along with others, went into the Mediterranean Sea when they found out that Syria had used chemical weapons on their own people. And Obama threatened Assad with an attack. And in this scenario, when he threatened Syria, and of course, Iran and Syria are brothers. I mean, they are closely aligned. They're regional allies. And according to the news articles, I found one that said, Iran threatens to burn down Israel when U.S. attacks Syria. A U.S. attack on Syria is not wise, according to the general of Iran, particularly considering the issue that it would happen in a region that is like a powder keg. And Syria's reaction to the airstrike by the U.S. or NATO is unpredictable. Here's another article. U.S. strike on Syria will mean the imminent destruction of Israel. This article says, Iran's Revolutionary Guards chief said a U.S. military attack on Syria would lead to the imminent destruction of Israel and would prove a second Vietnam for America. Hello? Is anyone awake? Iran threatens payback on Syria. Russia sends warships. Iran and Russia would work in extensive cooperation, this article says, to prevent any military action against Syria. Western military action against Syria would be an open violation of international laws, Rouhani said, and military action will bring down great costs for the region. Friends, what I see here is a conflict getting larger and larger and larger. Assad is still in power. Iran and Syria and Iraq are aligning themselves up together. And according to the prophecy, at some point in time, this ram is going to do something that's going to make this goat from across the surface of the whole earth with a great nation leading the way very, very mad. And what happens is this goat will go over, and when the regional conflict starts, no one could do anything with this ram. But then he sees this entity that's a lot more powerful who stomps on his ram and renders it powerless. So something that this goat does, it's going to ruin these two countries. And then after the conflict, it says, the prophet says, the male goat will grow very great. But when he became strong, the large horn was broken. Friends, this large horn is a major focus of this prophecy. I don't believe that it pertained to Alexander the Great, for number one, Alexander the Great was in 330 B.C. Number two, he was not the first king of Greece, he was the second. Number three, his kingdom did not divide into four parts. It eventually divided into three. Number four, the vision was to be filled up and then unfilled at the end. And so when this goat stomps on this ram, when this war happens, then this goat is going to brag about itself and get even greater. Then all of a sudden the prophet says, the horn breaks. Now listen, toward the four winds of heaven. Now, this means that when this great horn breaks, this great nation breaks, the whole world is going to be affected when it breaks. And the book declares, the broken horn and the four horns that arose in its place represent four kingdoms which will arise from this nation. So at the time of the end, the nations will come together, the four, which are the four beasts of Daniel chapter 7. When the horn breaks, then at the time of great turmoil, Daniel sees four beasts coming up out of the sea, diverse one from another. So friends, if I had time to take you into Daniel 7, Daniel 7 and the four beasts, after the great horn breaks, the great nation breaks, then four come up in his place. A lion with eagle's wings, a bear, a leopard with four heads, and a great and dreadful, terrible beast. And in Daniel 8, in this vision of the ram and goat, this little horn comes up out of one of the four. In Daniel 7, this little horn comes up out of one of the four. out of one of the four horns in Daniel 8 and out of one of the four beasts in Daniel 7. And there's more additional information that there's 10 horns that come up out of this beast. According to the prophecies, I believe that Daniel saw countries by symbolisms. He says a lion with eagle's wings was together, and it came up at a time when the four winds are streaming upon the great sea, indicative that there's a great trouble coming, and it's happening when these four beasts come up out of the sea. And so when this great horn breaks, these four beasts are going to come up. The first one, lion with eagle's wings. Now, just a little side note. I think it's amazing that Daniel could have seen symbols that applied to nations at the end. I happen to be really excited to see that there's one alliance, which one is a lion and the other is an eagle, and they use those symbols in their nation's symbolism. One, of course, we know the eagle as being the United States, and the lion as Great Britain. And they just happen to be the two that are lined together in this great war against terrorism. So then there's a bear in this particular thing that comes up. And by the way, in the historical concept, it was this idea, the historical idea was that the lion with eagle's wings was Babylon, and the bear was the Medes and Persians, and the leopard with four heads of Greece, and the great and dreadful terrible beast was Rome, and out of that came 10 kingdoms, and then, you know, so on and so on. Could it be that Daniel saw, in fact, symbols of animals at the end, and we would only understand it at the end, 2,500 years later, that would apply to nations today? Friends, there is a group, and they're called the Quartet. And in this quartet, what I find amazing is they are headquartered in Jerusalem. And I don't know if you're familiar with them, but I'm going to turn you on to a little bit of information, and I know I'm about running out of time here. So let me just share with you that the Quartet is the United States, Russia, the United States of Europe, and the United Nations. And they just happen to be the entity that's trying to create a two-state solution in Israel with the Palestinians and Israel. And by the way, the whole issue is Jerusalem. So,
well, let's do this. Let me intercede with you. Clearly, you're going to have some more to talk about. Folks, we will work him back in. If that is, you want to hear him. So you guys send me a text or email and let me know what you thought about him. But I'm telling you, folks, that he's hitting some really good numbers in the various archives. And so I know the folks are listening to him. The test is always, well, a lot of people tune in the first time, but the second time they tune back in and listen. So, folks, they are listening to you. So we'll work out something and we'll see what you want to go on with this or what. But right now, though, I got to say goodbye to you, brother.
God bless you, brother.
All right, goodbye and shalom. Folks, we must remember there is only one God. He is the Father. He's a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always be a blessing to others. How can you be saved and not be a blessing to others? I don't get it. I don't understand it. We're supposed to be set apart and different, and that is our meekness that's apart, our kindness, the things that come from the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Pray about supporting the mission church. We really do need your help. I mean, you know, there's so many people think, well, everybody else will donate, and that's how it goes. They think everybody else will donate, and so, you know, we're not like a lot of ministries. We don't have anything to sell. All we have is you praying and deciding that the Father's led you to donate. So pray about it. We really can use your help. It's a cold season. We really need it now worse than ever. All right. Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday on Mission Watch, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.